We continue in Paul's letter to the Colossians. Last time we focused especially on the end of chapter 1. Today we are going to focus on the material there, especially at the beginning of chapter 2, where Paul continues to teach about his own ministry as an apostle of Jesus Christ. Our regular morning series these last few months, well, really about the last year, that series has been in 1 Corinthians, but we're taking a little break from that series in 1 Corinthians because it should be profitable to step back and consider the Apostle Paul's great aim in his ministry. What is he ultimately about? The sermon title this morning, Christ Formed in You, Who Are Knit Together in Love. And let's read the living, holy word of God from Colossians chapter 1. We start there at verse 24. Colossians 1, 24. This is God's word. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. This is God's word from Colossians 1 and 2, once again. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ and friends, when we work, we like to know why we are performing one task or another on the job. Having the ultimate aim in mind helps us to remain focused on the job. It gives us a sense of purpose. And that helps us to press on in the work. It helps us to do the right kind of work. I'm sympathetic toward you kids when you have some difficult algebra homework through which you have to slog. And you get very frustrated at times because in addition to having a hard time just figuring out those math problems, you may have no idea why you'd ever need to know such things. Your teacher may not be able to convince you that it is worthwhile. It's going to serve some purpose down the road. And so you children might remain convinced that you're just doing busy work. You just don't see the point. And that makes the work a lot more difficult, doesn't it? As a young man, I worked the produce department in a grocery store for a while. One day, my department manager told me to switch the location of the pears and the peaches. Just completely switch them around. And I did that work, but I had no idea why. Which was frustrating. The job was boring enough. And this only made it worse. I had no idea why I'm switching around the peaches and the pears. But I finished the task. I was getting paid for it after all. So I finished that job. And then, to add insult to injury, my department manager tells me that he had me switch the location of the peaches and the pears because he had nothing better for me to do. So I spent hours and really hours doing this, a couple, 3 hours or so. It was just busy work. That was the only point. Just something to keep me busy so I'm not getting paid for standing around. Now, again, I'm getting paid, so I kept the job for a while. But it can really be a misery to have to work without having a sense of purpose. Dear saints, you are probably busy enough. As Christians, you do not want busy work. When you come into the house of God, you don't want to be doing things and not knowing why you're doing them. That should never be the case. We're not just trying to pass the time. We're not just trying to keep you busy. And you shouldn't feel that way. You don't need the church simply to give you a bunch of things to do while failing to give you a sense of your ultimate purpose and direction. The people of God need to know their mission. They need the local church to keep that mission in view all the time. You, brothers and sisters, need to see how everything you are doing contributes in some way to fulfilling the mission. The Apostle Paul was very good about keeping the mission in view. Not only for himself, you know, his task as an apostle, as a gospel minister, but keeping the mission in the view of the saints whom he's serving in the church of Christ. That's essentially what he does here in Colossians 1 and 2. Paul explains to the Colossian believers how the Christian ministry is all about fulfilling the Great Commission. I don't know if that jumped off the page for you when you read this passage, but it should have. Just before ascending to the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, our risen Savior, told his disciples to go make disciples of all nations, make more disciples, right? They're to go out to all people, preach the gospel to make more disciples out of all the peoples of the earth, and train those disciples to keep everything he commanded. That's our mission. You read it there at the end of Matthew 28. Well, Paul says here in Colossians 1:23, he was a minister of the gospel, seeking to preach the good news about Christ throughout all creation. If you didn't, we didn't read that verse 23, but you see it right there. He's looking to preach the good news about Christ, the only Savior, throughout all the world. But he's not merely interested in making more disciples of Christ. We sometimes think that's the mission. Just make more disciples, evangelize, see more people come to Christ. Well, that's absolutely fundamental. But Paul makes it very clear he also sought to grow them into the image of Christ. And he emphasizes that point, doesn't he? He says his ministry is all about teaching the saints in all wisdom in order to present everyone mature in Christ. But if you look at those two verses together, verses 27 and 28, you see how Paul grounds his work, everything he's doing as a minister of the gospel. He grounds it in the mission of God. Again, verse 27, you could have missed it, but go back to verse 27 and notice again. To them, to his people, the saints, God chose to make known, see, it's what God's doing, to make known how great among the Gentiles, among all the peoples of the world, the riches of the glory of the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It was hidden to a large degree, this mystery. But now through Paul and through the apostolic church, not just through Paul, other apostles, other prophets of Jesus Christ, God is making known throughout the world this mystery. So it's being revealed. And what is the mystery? It's his plan of salvation for the human race. That plan has been fundamentally accomplished by Christ Jesus. We gave some attention to that last week. I just review here with you for a few minutes. The plan of God, the mystery, it's being made known now that it's been accomplished. That's what Paul's saying. God's Son, Christ Jesus, has accomplished the plan of redemption. Instead of the condemnation and death that we deserve for our sins, we who trust in Christ have a glorious hope, a glorious inheritance in the kingdom of God. And it's owing entirely to the grace of God. who sent his son Jesus into this world to rescue us by his obedient life and sacrificial death. I remind you just of a couple of verses there earlier in chapter 1. Would you turn in your Bibles back to the earlier passage there in chapter 1, verses 12 and following. Paul reminds the saints that they're to give thanks to the Father who has qualified you, verse 12, to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He's done it. He's qualified you by his grace to share in that inheritance. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We have this glorious inheritance in God's everlasting kingdom, not because of anything done by us. No, it's a gift of God's grace obtained for us by Christ the Redeemer, by what he's done outside of us and for us. So last time we did think a little bit about Christ for us, the great work of our Redeemer, what he's done in history for his people, whom he redeemed by his obedient life and sacrificial death. But since God has already transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, that's what we read there earlier in chapter 1. He's already transferred us into that kingdom of Jesus Christ. And the risen King, Jesus, lives in us by the power of his Holy Spirit. He gradually transforms us after his own likeness. Remember, friends, that is God's great plan of redemption, his plan of salvation. And Paul says it later in chapter 1, verse 27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ did something for you, but then Christ is in you. He lives, raised from the dead, ascended to the right hand of the Father, but sends his Holy Spirit to unite you believers to himself for transformation of life. Yes, we believers have a glorious inheritance in the future because of what Christ has done for us. But our hope, as Paul makes it very clear here in verse 27, our confidence is that Christ now lives in us and is changing us from one degree of glory to the next by the power of his Holy Spirit through the means of his word. Verse 28, once again, him, Christ, we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Friends, it's God's mission to redeem sinners. The work of Christ for us has accomplished it. And then to take those sinners and transform them into the image of his Son. It's God's mission. It was Paul's mission to bring that to people all throughout the world. It's now our mission to proclaim the supremacy of Christ for the making of more disciples and growing them up into his likeness, so that we will all together glorify and enjoy our God and Savior. It happens by means of the word of Christ. Paul makes that very clear in verse 28. Really, Christ does this especially by means of his word in the power of his Spirit. But you know what, friends? Too many believers underestimate the importance of Christian fellowship in this great mission of God. And that's where we turn our attention today in our remaining time. Maybe some of you do not properly appreciate how your fellowship with other Christian believers is one of the means by which your God intends to grow you up into the likeness of his Son. I'm not talking here about church membership, as important as that is. And I'm not talking about even regular church attendance, as important as that is. No, I'm talking about vibrant, personal, healthy fellowship, shared life among the believers in a local congregation, where all of the saints in that congregation are united in love and devoted to serving each other in love. Paul makes it very clear that the Lord Jesus grows up his people into his likeness by means of the word, yet also by the loving service and fellowship that we have with one another. Verse 28, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone, right, with the word of Christ. This is the ministry of the word. Teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. Friends, what we want to think about in our remaining time then is this. All believers must unite in the Christian ministry, for the Lord grows us through our mutual loving service. All believers must unite in the Christian ministry, for the Lord grows us through our mutual loving service. My point today is that God uses people to bring his great plan to completion. God uses people like Paul to grow Christians, first of all. God uses people like the Apostle Paul to grow Christians. When I mention the Christian ministry, maybe you think, first of all, of that ministry of ordained gospel servants, such as the Apostle Paul was. Here in Colossians 1 and 2, he gives a good idea. He gives us a very good idea of what he was doing as a gospel servant. That's what minister means, servant. A gospel minister. Paul's continually proclaiming Christ, preaching the gospel, for that is how God saves sinners. And it's how he grows up his children into the likeness of Christ. It happens by means of his living and powerful word. But notice how Paul emphasizes how hard he worked in serving these people whom he loved. He was in prison at this point, sharing in the afflictions of Christ. But Paul pressed on in his Christian ministry, extending loving service to the saints, even to saints he'd never met face to face, at Colossae, at Laodicea, in other places. He's nevertheless reaching out to them, extending loving service to these believers by writing to them while he's in chains and looking to encourage them. God uses people. The word did the work. Paul makes it very clear so often that the word of Christ did the work, especially it was Jesus himself, by means of his word, doing the heavy lifting, right? Doing the saving and changing lives. But the Lord used the loving service of this man named Paul, who struggled with all the energy the Lord Jesus worked in him, so that Paul could encourage these believers, help them grow up into Christ, their head. Notice again from the beginning of chapter 2, I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea, for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged. Brothers and sisters, you do not want pastors and teachers and elders in the church who simply give you orthodox Christian doctrine out of the Bible. No. You need leaders who really love you. Men who love you by giving you the truth of God's word. Yes, that's a vital aspect of the ministry. They love you by giving you that word. But men who share their lives with you, men who open their hearts to you, who serve you with heartfelt affection, continually pray for you, yes, at times warn you personally. So Paul says he did. Paul was such a gospel servant, such a servant of Christ in his church. He is a very challenging example to me personally. I assure you of that this morning. He's an example, and a very challenging example at that, to the elders of this congregation. But remember, he is an example to all of us who are supposed to share the Christian ministry together. God uses people. He used Paul. God uses people like all of us to help each other grow in Christ. Secondly, God uses people like all of us to help each other grow in Christ. We Christians grow as we are encouraged by God's word and knit together in love. Here in chapter 2, especially in verse 2, Paul explains that he writes these letters to encourage the saints because he knew that as an apostle of Christ, those words he writes in these letters are the very word of God. The word through which God is saving people and transforming them into the likeness of Christ Jesus. But then in verse 2, you'll notice Paul goes on to explain how this happens as the saints are knit together in love. Now, that's just one little phrase. And you might be thinking, Pastor, you're making too much of that little phrase. I want to demonstrate to you in my remaining few minutes, I am not making too much of that little phrase. Knit together in love. Little phrase indeed, but what a big role loving Christian fellowship has in our spiritual growth, our endurance in the Christian life through many struggles, fruitfulness as God's kingdom people. I mean, the apostle seems here to indicate that we only become mature Christians who walk in the full assurance of salvation and in godly wisdom if we are closely joined to one another in love. Friends, again, verse 2, we're in Colossians 2, verse 2. He's talking about writing to them that their hearts may be encouraged. Being knit together in love. And in this way, you see, the saints reach all the riches of full assurance, of understanding, the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All wisdom and knowledge in Christ. But it's not like God directly dispenses all that wisdom and knowledge into your brains and into your lives for your spiritual growth as an isolated Christian. No. God gives us His Word in the context of a loving Christian community so that we all grow up together as we share life together in the Word and around the Word. That's Christian fellowship. Paul played a key role as a minister of the gospel, but see, all the saints had to be united, knit together in love, for proper growth to take place. The main problem at Colossae was false teachers. These men who were basically saying that Christ was not enough, that the saints there in the Colossian church needed to worship angels, they needed to keep various rituals, and so on. Well, later in chapter 2, the apostle calls the Colossians to hold fast to Christ. These false teachers weren't doing that. They were departing from Christ. Paul's really telling the Colossian believers, hold fast to Christ, your complete Savior, the head of the church, for He makes us grow. We have a lot of growing to do, but Christ makes us grow. Yet Paul explains how that growth really is a group project. So look there later in chapter 2, verse 16. He's telling them about the false teachers, steering them away from that false teaching. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism, worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, Christ, right? From whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. Did you see the very same verb? Knit together. By all of the joints and ligaments, that's by you, the different body parts. The false teachers were not holding fast to Christ, but Paul is calling the saints there at Colossae to believe on Christ, their head and Savior. Hold fast to that Savior in faith. He's going to make them complete. But while God gives all the growth in Christ, by the word of Christ especially, that growth happens as the saints are knit together. It's almost like Paul cannot say that Christ grows you apart from your involvement as all the joints and ligaments giving loving service to each other. You see it again there in verse 19. And you should recognize that language because it is almost identical to what Paul teaches in a more familiar, I would argue, a more familiar passage. Ephesians 4:11, Paul says that the ascended Lord Jesus gave the church apostles. He gave his church these different ministers of the word, apostles, prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Parallel with Colossians 1. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Now you have Colossians 2. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together, the verb in Greek, same verb, knit together, by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. More detail there in Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16, than we find in our passage today in Colossians. But friends, it's the very same thing that Paul teaches in Colossians 1 and 2. The preached word of Christ is vital for our spiritual growth, but that word works in the context of Christian community as it equips all of you, the saints of God, to share the ministry together, to partner with each other in that Christian ministry. The body of Christ is not built up by one man preaching the word. It's not built up by a handful of men. But the body is built up when every part, all the joints and ligaments, every body part, every member is sharing the ministry. It grows up into Christ the head as all the members of that body speak the truth to each other in love and apply the word of Christ to each other in personal, pointed, and practical ways. Friends, in ways that you may not get from the pulpit on a regular basis. Again, all the growth is from Christ our Savior, but he uses people, Christians who are knit together in love, so that each part of the body is working, all of us engaged in mutual exchange of loving service. This is one of the main reasons, of course, that we have not only the preaching of the word from this pulpit, it's why we have Sunday school. It gives opportunity for you all to fellowship in the word in a different way, to share in the ministry of the word, really. This is why we have small groups. It's why you're encouraged to remain after a worship service and fellowship with your brothers and sisters in the word that you've heard, that should be dwelling in your hearts and coming out of your mouths. It's why we should be practicing hospitality with each other, to enjoy Christian fellowship and to engage in the Christian ministry together. Where do you fit in that picture? What is your role in the life of the body of Christ here in this congregation? If you're visiting with us and you belong to some other church, what's your role there in that body of Christian people? Are you opening yourself up to receive loving service from others who can help you grow? Other saints that God has equipped to help you grow in Christ. Are you reaching out to other members of the body so that you can be used by the Lord to help them grow, to encourage them in the faith, to press on through many trials? It was hard work for Paul. Friends, it's hard work for me. And I can promise that if you are really engaged in Christian ministry, it will be hard work for you too. As the Apostle Paul keeps teaching us in 1 Corinthians, it takes the humble mind and the humble practice of self-denial. As Jesus teaches so many times, it requires Christians to take up their cross, die to ourselves, lose our lives. But remember, it's worth it because this is how we together experience more abundant life in Christ our Savior. Dear brothers and sisters, please pray for me. and pray for the elders and deacons of this church that we'd be hard at work, faithful in loving you, faithful in serving you and equipping you, which is our calling, our charge from God. But please pray for yourself, for your personal participation in the fellowship of the saints. Pray that the Lord would knit your heart together with the hearts of other brothers and sisters around you in this, your Christian family. Because, dear saints, this is how we will grow into the likeness of Christ. And it's how a distinctive, loving community will grow in this congregation so that we pray to God many more will come to Christ through the effective, loving service we give to each other, partnering and giving loving service to those outside of the church as well. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.